One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 55, Book 129 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this.
Let's take a moment to think of the world we live in, of just how small it really is. This is the age of rockets and speed. So let's imagine that by tomorrow or the next day, you'll find yourself stationed in the Middle East, perhaps at Tehran, Air Force Base in Saudi Arabia. Here you'll find yourself in a strange land indeed. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, a little more than a third the size of the United States, spreads over most of the large Arabian Peninsula that juts out from the continent of Asia. And even though it's surrounded on three sides by various gulfs and seas, the country, for the most part, is a great barren desert, alternating between hot days and cold nights, and dotted by oases that occasionally grow into small towns, towns that more than likely will be composed of black tents made of goat's hair. These are easy to pitch and can be moved by camel, while the desert people, or nomads, roam the vast sandy stretches seeking new pastures for their herds of sheep, goats, and camels. Actually, Saudi Arabia is no place for sightseeing, but it is rich with oil, oil vital to the United States and Europe. It's also the birthplace of Islam and the spiritual homeland of all Muslims. A pilgrimage to Mecca, the birthplace of Muhammad, is the supreme hope of all who profess this faith. Unfortunately, the most famous sites, the holy cities of Mecca and Medina, are closed to all but Muslims. In general, Saudis are very sincere about their religion. They're not permitted to drink alcoholic beverages, nor are they allowed to dance or smoke. A good rule for you to remember is this: politics, as well as religion and women, are definitely out as topics of polite conversation with Muslims. Respect their laws and customs, and you, in turn, will be respected. We want their friendship. But remember, the only way to have a friend is to be one.
Today, report from Pebble Beach. At Sea Cliff, far out on the Golden Gate edge of San Francisco, the foghorns are sounding on a dreary March evening. But in Paul Barber's studio at the top of the house...
Yes, I don't see why that should have upset Hazel, but she seemed very put out.
Well, perhaps it had nothing to do with you, Father Barber. No doubt she was worrying about something else.
Well, that occurred to me, Nicholas. I hope so. She has plenty to worry about. Their new furnace keeps them warm. It also keeps them awake. Noisy as a hurricane.
Want to sit here, Dad?
Thank you, Paul. Unless you two have something to discuss. Oh, yes, I see.
Oh, but don't hurry off, Father Barber.
No, I'll go along. Good to see you, Nicholas.
And you, sir.
They tell me that Penelope decided to stay at Pebble Beach a little longer.
She's playing a lot of golf with Margaret.
Yes.
Margaret sent her love, by the way. Hopes to get up to see you soon.
Yes. Want this door closed?
If you please, Dad.
He looks thinner.
Well, Mom thought he was getting a little heavy. He's on a diet, but he doesn't know it.
Oh.
Well, now, sit down, Nicky.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to you about Penelope.
Well, I thought Claudia was coming, too.
Oh, she'll be along. She stopped in the sewing room to see Mother Barber. We're both surprised at the reports we've had on Bruce Conrad. We found him utterly charming.
Oh, yes, great charm. And a good, quick brain.
He told me, quite frankly, that you fired him from international air freight. He felt that you were entirely justified.
I'm glad he agrees.
One thing that impressed us both, Penelope follows his direction. She's quite docile. He does give the appearance of having considerable strength, and Claudia tells me that you feel just the opposite is true.
In my experience with him, yes.
Isn't that odd how points of view differ? I mean, I have a friend who had his portrait painted and tucked a card in the frame at the bottom saying... One never approves of a portrait of a friend. I suppose that's because each of us sees the other differently.
And no one knows where lies the truth.
Yeah. It's illustrated in this instance, surely. Penelope, Claudia, you and I each see a different lad in young Mr. Conrad. Though Claudia and I found it difficult after these few days with him to believe the reports we've had. Well, as for what happened in Korea, those boys were brainwashed, Paul.
Well, that's a very dramatic-sounding name for what happened in Mr. Conrad's particular instance. I can give it to you exactly because I looked into it, Nicky, thoroughly. He expected to be tortured by the Chinese Reds when he was captured. Instead, he and some others were greeted by a jolly little Chinese with an Ivy League command of slang, a graduate of Columbia, who passed him on to another jolly little chap who had been at school at the University of Chicago. Conrad and his fellow prisoners were not asked to do anything very difficult, merely to report on each other and to stand up occasionally for public confessions of their ideological misdemeanors. Mr. Bruce Conrad capitulated without hesitation, displayed no loyalty to his friends, his country, his command, his flag, or his people. Mr. Conrad took the easiest, quickest way to whatever extra comfort was available to him and signed communist propaganda documents after no more coercion than that.
I find it too difficult to believe. Not that I question your sincerity, Paul, but are you sure your informant hasn't got Bruce mixed up with someone else?
I'm absolutely positive. He told you why I fired him?
Well, he said he was transporting some articles for a friend from Mexico and neglected to declare them on a bill of lading.
He was smuggling, Mickey, using our freight line for an illegal operation.
Well, that's it, if you say so. Though I found myself beguiled, I must admit. He seemed so openly, so willing to admit his mistakes. He seemed earnestly trying to make amends.
Is Penny in love with him?
Well, I never know. Claudia doesn't know. I've never seen her quite so agreeable, so obedient. This was an experience of real family harmony. We had a very good time with the youngster.
I will bring it up again, Mickey. Only say for the record, watch out.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
If I cut in for a few moments, fellas, I hope it won't start an argument. But if you'd like to get into an argument that will pay off 9 times out of 10, you just bet someone that the Treasury Department has its own Navy. Well, that happens to be true. It's a fact that the United States Coast Guard is an agency of the Treasury Department and has the job of seeing to it that any activity involving the coastal waters of our country is strictly within the law. The Coast Guard has many responsibilities to keep it busy. It assists ships and aircraft in distress, protects game, seal, and otter fisheries in Alaska, and maintains the International Ice Patrol in the North Atlantic. It operates lighthouses, light ships, beacons, and other aids to navigation, and removes wrecks and other floating dangers. In addition, the Coast Guard enforces laws and regulations relating to customs, navigation, neutrality, immigration, and quarantine. All peacetime jobs under the supervision of the Treasury Department. During wartime, however, the Coast Guard is attached to the United States Navy and acts directly under that branch of our military service. But whether it operates under the Treasury Department or the United States Navy, the Coast Guard is a mighty bulwark in the protection and defense of our country.
Father Barber, standing in the doorway to Hazel's old apartment on the second floor, gazes wistfully at the handsome rooms which were denuded of furniture when Hazel moved to her own house 13 doors away. Claudia, coming from the sewing room, slows her step and watches her father curiously. He's unaware of her approach.
Yeah, so it goes. So it goes.
Dad, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, Claudia. I was wondering what use we can make of these rooms. I made the mistake this morning of telling Hazel that her apartment would always be here for her, and she seemed to feel that this implied that, that Daniel's new venture might fail. Yes, I've just realized I shouldn't have said it. That's why she's put out with me.
Didn't know she was.
Oh, yes. She was very crisp in her manner last time I was over there. I am not popular.
She'll get over it. What about Hank and Greta? Why couldn't they live here after they're married?
Want to be on their own. I wish Andrew would drop in oftener and use these rooms.
Dad, have you forgotten how busy college people are? Andy doesn't have time to come over here all the way from Berkeley.
That's a reasonable excuse. But the truth is, Andrew lived abroad so long, he doesn't appreciate the importance of the family. He doesn't realize the implications. Why, he's the only grandson I have who will carry on the family name. I'd do anything in the world for him. Pay double tuition if he found a nice girl and wanted to get married, as college people do these days.
Have you talked to Andy this way?
Well, I let him know that funds were available.
Perhaps he felt that was a matter too intimate to be discussed.
I'm his grandfather, trying to be helpful.
No, not really, Dad. That's what you'd like to think.
Hmm?
But that's not quite all of it. You would like to have him marry so you could have a great-grandson named Barber as soon as possible. And you embarrassed him dreadfully by letting him see what you were after. Now you know that's true.
Ooh. Well, your vacation seems to have brought you back full of verve and spirit.
Shouldn't I have spoken up, Dad? You do. You did to Hazel and to Andy. Shouldn't I, too?
Gloria!
Coming, Nicky! On my way! Been delayed twice. Dad, everybody should get away sometimes. It gives you a new perspective.
Yes, well, they want you upstairs. My conversations don't seem to terminate very happily today. Go along, go along.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
Get the picture. Now you can enroll in USAFI telecourses in conjunction with related USAFI high school and college courses. Each filmed course consists of a series of 12 to 20 half-hour films, which can be shown on any standard 16-millimeter projector. Several courses are already being taken by servicemen and women all over the world, and more of these filmed courses are continually being added to the list of available subjects. See your education officer for details. Enroll now with USAFI and let a telecourse be your guide.
In the studio, a few minutes later, Nicky is saying...
Thank you, Paul, very much. I'm sure you've told us the facts as you know them. Our problem is what to do.
I don't see there's anything we can do. Penelope is 20, intellectually much older.
But emotionally immature.
But we can't lock her up, Paul. Actually, bemused as we must have been, our attitude while we were with Mr. Conrad certainly wouldn't antagonize either of them. And so often parents invite rebellion with disapproval.
We expected to disapprove and couldn't.
I hope I'm wrong about the boy.
Daddy!
Listen, was Dad calling?
Daddy, I'm going for a walk. Goodbye.
Walk? Look at that fog out there.
Oh, poor Dad. He's been having trouble with everybody he talked to today. Maybe a walk will help. I hinted that he needed a new perspective. It never occurs to him when there's trouble that he could possibly be wrong.
Well, it's true of so many others, which may be one reason the world's always in such turmoil. Well, come along, Claudia. Thanks again, Paul. Thank you very much.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 56, Book 129, Lost in the Fog. Frank Martin speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.